Blog Talk Radio.
It's Film Festival Radio, the show where superstars and future stars happily coexist together. And now, here's your host, Janice Malone.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to Film Festival Radio Show with me, Janice Malone, here. Thank you for tuning in. As always, can't do the show without you, so we may as well have you on board with us. So thank you, as always, as we've been doing the show now for 13 years, and so we thank you for all of your support, your emails, and just everything. So we have a show that we're going to present to you right now. But before we get to our guests, we have two guests for this show. Both are filmmakers. Want to tell you about a quick audition. Pay attention, listen up, get your pen and paper if you need it. If you can't find a pen and paper right now, we can always email you the information of what you need for these auditions. Our email address is info@filmfestivalradio.com. So, okay, let's get to this audition really fast. Nationwide, there is a nationwide national search for people with extreme food obsessions. Yes, if you have, or maybe someone you know, maybe somebody in your family, your friends, a spouse, whomever, maybe it's yourself. If you have an extreme food obsession, there is a possibility that you might get selected if you send in your information and apply for this. There's a new national television reality show that a major television network is putting together, and this particular production company has won several awards for their reality docu-style programming. So this is what they're looking for. If you or someone you know is really obsessed with food and it has just gotten totally out of control, it's just out of control. In fact, is it an obsession, you know, like a shopping obsession or like a gambling obsession, but this is a food obsession. Or maybe there's a specific type of food that you just can't get enough of eating. With me, it would be pizza. Please don't even try it with me and pizza. Now, in all seriousness, if this food obsession has now become a health risk for you, or maybe your obsession with food has affected your finances or your personal relationships. That's what they're talking about, extreme food obsession. So if that is you or somebody that you know, these producers are looking for men and women who are so consumed by their food obsession that it has just taken over their lives and their financial lives, and to a point that they now need professional help. If this sounds like you, or again, someone you know that you want to try out for this show, because if you are selected for this show, they will provide professionals, top professionals, that will help you hopefully break this food obsession, get you back healthy again, and go on and move on with your life. So if you are selected again, you'll be on national television, and you will get some professional help for whatever food obsession that you might have. So this is what you need to do if you'd like to try out for this reality show. You need to send in by email your first and last name, a contact telephone number as to how you can be reached, the city and state where you live, and a brief description of your food obsession and how this food obsession has affected your life. And finally, send in a recent picture of yourself in a JPEG format. And of course, that's all done with our camera and cell phones nowadays. So again, you need to send your first and last name, your contact telephone number, the city and state where you live, and a brief description about your food obsession and how it's affecting your life, and a recent picture of yourself in a JPEG format. And you need to send that to this email address. It's foodobsessedk foodcasting at gmail.com. And that's food, F-O-O-D, obsessed, O, B as in boy, E. Oh, wrong. I'm wrong. Start over. Send to food, O-B-S-E-S-S-E-D, casting at gmail.com. That's food obsessed casting at gmail.com. And again, if you are selected after you email that information in, and if the producers decide to call you to bring you in for an in-person audition, they will be COVID-19 protocols in place in accordance to the health and safety standards. So just keep that in mind if you are selected. So, and again, if you don't have a pen and paper, you can always email us info@filmfestivalradio.com and we will send you the information that you need. Okay? All right. Now, let's go and move on to our first guest. Our first guest, as I said, she is a filmmaker. Her name is Maria Juranek, and she has written and directed a short film, a film short called Dreamers. And what the film is, a very unique film in that it uses breakdancing, the very artistic world of breakdancing, to explore the very frustrating experiences that a group of young people are dealing with who are in the DACA program. DACA, of course, it's a lot of red tape involved with dealing with DACA. If you know of someone that is, or maybe you yourself has, you know, been involved with the DACA program of trying to, you know, get your right to be a citizen here in America and solidify your rights as a citizen here. The paperwork can be just tremendous. It's a lot of government bureaucracy. So what this film Dreamers does, it just focuses in on how frustrating and how much often government red tape that people have to deal with. So the film will be screened on November 6th. It's already been screened at different film festivals around the country, such as Dances with Films, the Brooklyn Film Festival, the Minneapolis Film Festival, the Dumbo Film Festival, and the Tirana International Film Festival, where it won the Best Video Art and Experimental Award. So on November 6th, Dreamers will screen at the Red Rock Film Festival, and that is in the southern Utah area. So if you happen to live in that area, I'm assuming that the film festival will probably be done virtually online, but who knows, they may have just a few events where people, just a limited amount of people can, attend in person. Don't know, everybody's a little different, but you can always go to their website, the Red Rock Film Festival, and get the information on when Dreamers will be screened, and we'd love for you to see it. And again, if you, maybe you know someone who is struggling with being a part of the DACA, D-A-C-A, DACA program, and how, we all know how frustrating that is. I know a couple of people who were in it, and it was, it was just a lot to deal with. It was just nerve-wracking, that's all I can say. And I want to make note that DACA stands for the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. And it's, it's dealing with immigration policy. And right now, under this administration, the immigration policies are just jacked up and just out there, is all I can say. So, but again, this film shows how this very special group of people, young people, are taking their frustrations and expressing them through breakdancing. I think is a very unique concept. Maybe that's what a lot of us can do, is whenever we're dealing with extreme situations, if possible, just dance. I know what, I have started doing that myself, and not breakdancing, but I have gone back to some of my favorite dances from the 80s and 90s, and it really, for fitness actually, but it really does make me feel a lot better. And so I think this film really shows a unique concept of how breakdancing, in this case, is helping these individuals cope with what they're dealing with. So again, Maria Juranek is the filmmaker. She's the writer and director of the film short Dreamers. And so let's bring Maria online right now and she can give us more insight into her new film. So let's bring Maria on and we'll start chatting. Okay, Maria, your film Dreamers explores a group of young immigrants who are kind of caught in the crossfires of the horrendous, oftentimes can be horrendous, DACA system. So tell everyone how you came about to do this film and why did you do it? And just tell us more about the film.
Sure, yeah. Thank you, Janice. So I am actually an immigrant myself. I was brought here by my parents when I was 10. So the, you know, this program is, you know, pretty fairly new. It was started in 2012 by the Obama administration. And so, you know, when I learned about it, I was very much resonated with me because I understand the complexity of being brought here and not having a right or a choice, you know, a say in it, really. And so as children, I feel like you're sort of tugged into directions by adults, and then you sort of have to live with the consequences of what those choices were. So it really resonated with me a lot, you know, from the very beginning. And so when I got the opportunity to collaborate with my friend Lisa, who is a break dancer and has a company, and she's a choreographer, her and I have worked before and have always looked for ways and different reasons to collaborate. And so she ended up getting a grant for a dance piece that she wanted to do with me. And so we started, you know, first we actually talked about just the importance of paper and how paper identifies us. And, you know, you don't feel, you're not even alive unless you have a birth certificate. You have to, like, have a piece of paper to prove pretty much anything about you. So the paper theme in this film is very much based on this idea that paper is identity. And so it ties in very much with the idea with immigration and specifically DACA, which is what after we had this initial thought about choreography with paper, we understood now how it applies to this bigger theme of what we're trying to say. And more specifically, the reason that, you know, Lisa and I were friends, and I'm a fellow breakdancer myself, so this art form was very familiar to me. And I thought it was a beautiful merge, specifically because breakdancing is an art form that's still sort of battling its own right to be considered as a formal art, like classical piece, or to be used in a more serious art piece to express emotion and ideas. I think there's a lot of, you know, dance companies that do this or performances or theater, but in film specifically, I haven't seen this or very much of it. You know, there's a lot of like the sports, like, you know, like Breaking 1 and 2, where it's very much like about, you know, battling and who's going to be, you know, who's kind of got the best moves and power moves and whatnot. But as far as just being like the extension of a story, I haven't really seen that much. So that was also very much a goal of ours, to be able to use this art form in a serious way, where to see that it is really possible to be an extension of a story. So that's why we, you know, that was our mission when using this form of dance style.
Now, how many young people are a part of the film that you're focusing on?
I'm sorry?
How many young people are the dancers are there in the film that you're focusing on?
So the film has one protagonist, Renee, and she is the one that is representing the immigrant. It comes in and is, you know, trying to process her papers because her future is so unknown. And then there's the dancers, and the rest of the dancers are, I believe there's 5 or 6 of them in there that are part of this company who also together with Lisa came up with the choreography. Agency as a team and are part of this company called Break. I'm blanking actually. Breakfast.
Okay.
In Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Okay. And so, had these young people, were they already breakdancers, or was that always something that they just happened to be interested in, and they just kind of all met and started, you know, breakdancing together, or what?
Okay, yeah, great question, Jenna. Thank you for clarifying that a little more for me. Yeah, so like I said before, Lisa and I actually met under the circumstances of like wanting to breakdance when we're, you know, maybe 10, 15 years ago. A community of breakdancing is actually really unique because, like I said, 10, 15 years ago, it would be a bunch of it's just that people in the dance form who came together and taught each other. So there weren't any formal classes or places you can go do it. It's something that you teach in, you know, on the street. It's like a street art, if you will. So the way that most of these guys that are in the film started is similar to how me and Lisa started about 15 years ago, except she obviously evolved into a much stronger dancer, and I stopped about 5 years later. Everybody else in that film, I started similar, where they were interested in the art form, they had the desire to start and learn, and so what happened is that, you know, someone would say, hey, I have a free space after hours in YMCA, we're all going there to practice, and people would come there and get together, word of mouth, and everybody can show up and sort of teach each other, say, hey, you know, I saw that you did this move, it's really great, how do I get better? And then we would coach each other, and then we would, you know, evaluate it, push each other, and then, you know, alliances which would develop, and then as a team, we would go out after practice, and then maybe, like, as, you know, there's these cyphers and these battles that you do with others, and then you get better by, you know, challenging yourself to sort of put yourself out there with what you've been. So, yeah, so it's like it's very much a community based art form, which is really unique, and I think a lot of these people that are in the film are either, you know, are either people who have come together out of curiosity, and then also some of them are second or first generation immigrants themselves.
Okay, and so how long ago was it when you first started on the film and following these young people?
So I've known these group of people for, like I said, about 10, 15 years, some better than others. I've done a film with at least two of them before that was also with breakdancing. So I've known them and their, you know, and I've followed their trajectory as performers anyway for many years. So I was very familiar with, you know, their style and what they can do and how they perform and who they are as a human. So I've been, you know, I've been in touch with them for you know, a very long time. As I mentioned before, I have done a film with breakdancing with a few of them in the past.
And so can you tell us now, where are they as far as getting through the red tape of DACA? Is everything all settled, or is everything still pending with them, or what?
Oh, okay. So I should actually rephrase. So none of the people that are in the movie are actual DACA recipients or awaiting.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure if that was clear.
Oh, okay. I see. Okay.
And so it's a fictionalized portrait.
Oh, I see. Okay. I get it. Well, I know that the film has been screened in other film festivals, and so I was wondering what's been the reception and the response from people, maybe family members or maybe people themselves who are really going through and experiencing the red tape of DACA. Have you had any feedback, Instagram or emails from people who've seen it, the film?
The few that I have, were really like taken back by the obviously the caliber of the performances, but also by the message itself. It was it was received really in a positive way, where I had someone congratulate me on the fact that I was making a statement that is so important. And that really is why I both me and Lisa really wanted to do this. Because we 100% wanted to make art, but we also wanted to give another version of a voice to this really important message, which is just get to the polls and let's make sure that these people have a right to stay.
Exactly. And so, do you have plans on doing like a sequel to Dreamers later on after it continues the film festival circuit, or what?
There's so many things, but as far as breakdancing, I think I would love to create more dance pieces, performance pieces about topics that are important to me, and immigration is definitely one. I think I would love to create another piece, with a performing piece, and another issue. But as far as doc immigrations, I think specifically exploring this subject for me, I would like to do in another documentary. And I'm actually currently in the process of finding some of these DACA recipients now, and just to be able to do that.
Very good. I think that's very much needed. Brings a whole different side of, a very frustrating situation to be in. I can't even imagine.
Sure.
Very much so. Well, finally, how can people, I know the Dreamers is, again, going through the film festival circuit, but after the film festival circuit, is there a way that people can follow you guys on social media? What's your website and social media contact information?
Yes, one second.
Okay.
Yeah, so currently the film is running in the festival circuit, as you said, and we are probably going to continue for, a couple of, maybe a month or two, but after that we'd love to release it online, and we are currently... We're still waiting on where it will be released. However, we do have a link to Instagram that people definitely should follow. It's at dreamers_film.
Okay.
And also my Instagram is at Juramara, Juramara. And so we post lots of updates and links to that wherever it's going, and we'll obviously update it when it's live, and hopefully from there we'll be able to get some form of distribution.
Great. Okay, that's excellent to hear. And again, I think it's the topic matter is very important, and you have found a creative way to get the point out and get the emphasis and some more spotlight on this situation about DACA, but still in a creative but informative way. And that's very, I commend you for being able to balance the two, which is not that easy. Very touchy subject matter. Just so much red tape involved as well. But you've done it. You've got a film. And sounds like you've gone from break dancing to filmmaker on your resume here. That's good to hear. It's really good to hear.
Yeah, it's been a
ride. Well, I thank you so much for chatting with me and sharing the information about your film, Dreamers. Thank you so much.
I really appreciate you talking to me as well. Thank you so much, Janice.
Okay, all right. Okay. Okay, thank you so much, Maria, for getting us some behind the scenes in the making of her film. And hopefully once it is available for the general public, I think it's definitely worth it for, again, if you know someone who is in that DACA system, and maybe it'll be encouraging for them, or maybe you've been in it yourself or a family member or something. But anyway, you can follow Maria to get more information about the film through her social media pages, as her handles, as she shared with us. But again, the film will be screened November 6th at the Red Rock Film Festival in Utah. So again, go to their website to find the exact date and time slots as to when this film will be screened. Okay, that brings us to our next guest, who is also a filmmaker. Her name is Katie Davis, and she is the director of the HBO documentary film Soul of America, The Battle for Our Better Angels, which airs tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern Time on HBO. It's really a must-see film that's part political documentary, part biography, and it is from one of America's most respected presidential historians, a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist, John Meekham. The film is based on Mr. Meekham's 2018 New York Times bestselling book of the same name, The Soul of America, The Battle of Our Better Angels. Again, it's a full title. And it was his bestselling book, as I said, and 2018 won just all kinds of awards. So the film itself, the film version of the book, examines the good, the bad, the ugly, the crazy that has happened in American history at times. And here we are at a very, very crucial time as we are about to have one of our most important presidential elections in a few days, perhaps the most important presidential election in history. So this film, again, it looks at a lot of notable events that have shaped America from the past all the way up until right now. But in addition, The Soul of America also chronicles John Meekham's life and career as a Pulitzer Prize award-winning journalist, who is now a notable award-winning historian. And hopefully this film, I know after I saw it, it will help viewers kind of understand a little bit better the parallels between current events now and the historical events from this country's past. The film, it gives hope. It gives hope that the lessons of our past will hopefully bring this nation closer after November 3rd, we hope. And we'll soon find out. We'll soon find out by the time November 4th comes. And as I said, Katie Davis is the director of this HBO special film documentary, and she and her crew did an outstanding job. And of course, throughout the film, you not only will see very notable events that have shaped American history, but also it is interwoven with various interviews with key historians and just very key professors and very learned people that are experts about history, American history in particular. Just a lot of really thought-provoking, smart people are interviewed throughout the film, in addition to, of course, the man who wrote the book, who it's really focused on, John Meekham himself. Again, the film is The Soul of America, The Battle for Our Angels, airing tonight, October 27th, on HBO, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. So let's bring the director of the special film on, Katie Davis, and talk with her about the making of The Soul of America. We'll be right here in about 10 seconds.
Hi, Katie. How are you? Wonderful, wonderful. I'm glad to talk with you. I watched The Soul of America last night. I always like to watch films right before the interview. And so I thoroughly enjoyed it. It's very, very informative, obviously, because of the person that is mostly the topic subject matter, John Meacham, of course. So I want to say, of course, that this will premiere on HBO October 27th, 9 p.m. Eastern, and everybody else will have to figure it out for their time zones because I'm terrible with that stuff. I'm really awful. I always get Hawaii and Mountain Time. I can do Central, okay, Eastern, Pacific. It's that dead gum Hawaii and Mountain Time that throws me off, so. But anyway, Katie, you are, as I said, the director of this documentary project, and it will be premiering just a few days, of course, before the upcoming November 3rd election. How important is this film as it pertains to this upcoming election, or does it pertain?
Well, I mean, I guess that is a curiosity that I have, that I'm hoping to hear from, like, the audience about. I think it does.
Me
you know
too.
What I mean? I've been, you know, a lot of the language that I've been reading around the election, and particularly coming out of the Biden campaign these days, has been about this battle for the soul of the nation. And so in that way, I think that this film is sort of situated within the moment really perfectly. But I mean, I also think that education, you know, historical understanding of why we are where we are and where we need to go is always relevant and always important. And, you know, arguably, like a lack of understanding of where we have been before is what creates so many problems that we continue to perpetuate again and again and again.
Well, I definitely think that your film is very vital, especially for people who maybe they are new citizens here in America, or maybe they're first-time voters, because we're seeing a lot of celebrities are admitting this is my first time voting. I think your film does a great job in, it's like a summation, summary capsule of the history of the country all the way up until, like you said, to where we are now. So that's why I think a lot of people should see it before the election, because it does a really good job of summarizing the history.
Yay! Thank you. Yeah, that was the goal.
Uh-huh. Well, mission accomplished. Very much so.
I mean, it's hard, right, when you're talking about, you know, like so much history in less than an hour and a half. You know, like each one of these moments and every single thing that we talk about could be its own film, its own series, you know, and it is our entire, they represent entire academic topics. You know what I mean? But that's really the hope that we had going into the film, was that we could kind of help make an argument, you know, based on this sort of vast history. And that was like the big challenge that we faced, you know. So I'm glad to hear that you thought we did it well.
You did. You really did. I felt like I was back in history class again. I said, well, I must have not been paying attention enough during that era right there. Because I was like, oh, I didn't know that part happened. But okay.
AP history teachers everywhere.
Oh, I know history teachers are going to love you guys and be sending you all kinds of emails. Goodness.
That's great.
So the film, of course, is based on John Meacham's best-selling book of the same name, and a lot of it chronicles Mr. Meacham's life and career as a journalist, historian. But I was wondering, he's so busy, all these speaking engagements every year and writing and just so much in demand, what was it about, why did he want to do a film like this at this time in his life, or did he ever reveal that?
There are a whole bunch of things that have to come together to make a film happen, right? And I think, you know, the film really began with the Time article after Charlottesville in 2017. And I think that there was, around the country, there was just kind of a shock and horror during that moment. And he was approached, as we say in the film, he was approached by the editor of Time to kind of write a brief history of hate. And that's how the book evolved out of that. And the film sort of evolved out of the book. It was because of the excitement and the reception from the book and the feeling that this is a really timely, you know, that we have to understand, like, that moment, 2017, and all of the moments that have happened over the last year and change, they all make sense when you know this history. So, you know, I think that just it was the right time, the right book, the right man, you know, and that just, you know, all of those things came together in this really wonderful way.
Well, John Meacham, as we all know, has been on the forefront of covering so many U.S. presidents within the modern times. And this film extensively interviews John Meacham, but also other key names, historians and others. So give us some of the names of people who will be seen and interviewed in the film.
So John Meacham is our primary, you know, he's our primary narrator, and he's taking us through the main story. But then he takes us into these moments in history, and really we're diving into, like, what we wanted to do was get witnesses from the time period as much as possible. So we talk about the history of women's suffrage briefly, and we use transcripts from interviews with Alice Paul, who is no longer alive, to include some of her in the film. She's one of the activists that we explore from the passage of the 19th Amendment. And Lisa Tetro, an academic, it kind of builds out that story there. And then we also look at the Japanese American incarceration and Gail Manami, Don Tamaki, and George Takei are our primary witnesses from that case study. And then in the civil rights movement, Janice Wesley Kelsey and Representative John Lewis are primary witnesses from that era.
Yes, I definitely remember those segments quite well. I was just, again, I was amazed at a lot of their recollections of information that I did not know that had happened. And so, yeah, that really moved me. I mean, because they experienced so many different emotions. There was anger, there were tears, there were, didn't know that either. Just an array of different emotions. But do you think that, are there any so-called teachable moments that viewers can walk away with after watching The Soul of America?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there are a few, but the biggest one, and I think the one that is closest to my heart, is just this sense that there is hope, you know, that we have been through these moments, these really dark times that feel really hopeless before. And if you know our history, you know that where we are now is not new. It is something that it is filled with all kinds of trials and tribulations that we as a country have been dealing with since our founding. And, you know, I hope that an audience comes out of this knowing that we've been through these times before and they're hard and they're complex, but what they require is active citizenry. And I think that, you know, one of the biggest takeaways from that is that Meacham has always says that the way that change happens is in this country is when the powerful, the people in our leadership, finally listen to what the voices of protest, the activists, the people on the ground have been saying. So, you know, and that change doesn't happen quickly. It takes time. You know, the 19th Amendment, it took 100 years, over 100 years of deep struggle to get to the point where we could allow white women to vote. It wasn't until 1965 that also women of color and all people have had the right to vote because of the work of the civil rights movement. So it's just, it is a long struggle that we are in. There's never anywhere that we get to where we have just arrived and we can just, you know, throw our hands up and kick back. You know, it really takes all of this. And I think that speaks to this moment, regardless of what happened on November 3rd. Like, the struggle will continue, and it needs us and it needs our belief and our hope that we can make change, you know, to get to, you know, for our better angels to prevail.
Very much so. Well, I have a couple of last questions here. When I look at where we are right this minute, and then I looked at your film and I saw the civil rights era, the McCarthyism era, the incarceration of the Japanese Americans areas, all of that. And I look at where we are now, and it just made me think and wonder, are we trying to digress here in America or what?
I don't know that I would say that we're trying. I think that there are, and this is what Nietzsche, you know, one of his main points in the film, racism, sexism, xenophobia, these are all, you know, perennial struggles in American life. Our nation was founded on slave labor. You know, I mean, that is an original sin, you know, in this country, and it is something that we haven't fully grappled with. It is reflected in the way in our criminal justice system, you know, in all kinds of things in our society. There are institutional and systemic problems, you know, that have not been addressed. And so, you know, there are moments, what Meacham says, I think, is that, you know, there are these, it's like a pendulum and it swings. And sometimes we have these great moments of progress, and then sometimes the pendulum swings to these moments of reaction. And, you know, if you look at history, you can see that pendulum swinging, and we're in one of those reactionary moments now. But, you know, again, if you know our history, you know that, like, it's not coming out of nowhere. You know, these are deep-seated problems that we need to deal with, you know, like, in fundamental ways. And I think part of that is starting a conversation and educating ourselves deeply. Because I believe that if we all have a greater sense of, you know, our history, you know, and of each of these issues, then we'll make different choices.
Definitely. We have to become our own better angels, so to speak, and unite and combine with other better angels of all races and colors and cultures. As you said earlier, we are our own better angels collectively. That's when we can get things done. Last question here. As a director, what was the most challenging aspect of working on this project for you?
Oh, you know, I think you end up falling in love with everything that you shoot. Every piece of archival material that you watch and read, you know, and the biggest challenge becomes, you know, kind of cutting it down.
I know. Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's different challenges along the way, right? But particularly with a film like this, you know, it could have been this colossal epic, and there's a lot of stuff that ends up on the cutting room floor that you're really in love with and you're sad to have let go, but, you know, ultimately you do it so it can be fast-paced and you can get, you know, like, and make it watchable, you know, and keep people's attention and stuff. And so that's what we were, you know, but I think that was one of the things.
Because you just had so much good content.
Yeah. I mean, I just, you know, I spent so much time with Meacham and he's so wonderful. I would have just, you know, like, there's just so many outtakes that are just hilarious and wonderful that I would have put in, but, you know.
Yeah,
you have time limitations and audience and, you know, attention and all of these things.
Oh, do I ever know. When we do these interviews for this show, you guys, the guests, sometimes you just have so many great quotes. And I was like, oh, I can't take that part out. So I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Well, I always like to ask a guest, especially when there's a upcoming premiere, a television premiere, will there be any live tweeting on October 27th, HBO, 9 p.m., plug. Will you guys be doing any live tweeting?
That is a good idea. You know, I don't do, and I mean, I just really haven't in my life really done social media. I'm terrible with it. And sometimes I wonder, should I be doing this more? But I find that it takes a lot of time.
It does.
I don't know. you know what I mean? I think that I'm one of those people who just don't engage at that often. But maybe John will tweet out. I don't know. Actually, I really don't know. I'm sorry.
can tell you from my own experience, I'm not the best at social media myself, and it is very time consuming. When you're very busy, like obviously you are, it can eat up your time. It really can. Okay, well, lastly, for sure, what is your next project?
I have friends who keep telling me I need to do this part.
Oh, yeah. Well, you'll get to it. If you don't, it's okay. You're good. You're doing more than good. So what's your next project? And that's our last question here.
You know, I don't know if I'm really able to talk about it so much. It's a biography on an iconic artist that I am falling deeply in love with. We actually just started production on it, and we've been filming over the last month, which has been really tricky with everything that's happening in the pandemic and COVID restrictions. And But I'm really, really excited about it. So stay tuned for more.
Stay tuned. But wait, there's more from Katie Davison. Okay. An artist. Now, see, there's a cliffhanger. We don't know if you mean music artist or a painter, sculptor artist, or a fashion designer artist. We just go, it's an artist. Let's just wait and see. And I assume that will obviously be a project next year. And we'll just stay tuned and see. But right now, we'll be tuning in October 27th, HBO, 9 p.m. Eastern, for The Soul of America, The Battle for Our Better Angels, the documentary. And for those who have the book, they'll get a double treat if they've already read the books. But, Katie, thank you so much for chatting with me. Gosh, you've just kind of made my day here talking with you. I love this stuff.
Janice, you're amazing. Thank you.
Okay, well, you are invited to come back next year for that mystery artist project and talk to us about it, okay?
I'm gonna take you up on it.
Okay. We'll be right here. Okay.
All right.
Take care then. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you so much, Katie, for sharing with us. And once again, make sure that you go later tonight, HBO is the channel and the network, and the film will begin at 9 p.m. Eastern time. And again, it's The Soul of America, The Battle for Our Better Angels, the film version that is based on the bestseller book of the same title by one of the most respected journalists in the country, really around the world here, John Meacham. So anyway, I've seen it, of course, but I'd like to see it again. So I'll be tuning in with the rest of you guys out there. So that's going to do it for this edition of Film Festival Radio Show. Thank you so much to Katie Davis and also to our other filmmaker, Maria Juranic, of the film Dreamers. Both these ladies are very talented and they're very smart, and they're making and have made just an amazing name for themselves in the world of films. And we really appreciate them for their talents. So we'll see you guys next time on the next edition of Film Festival Radio Show. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to another edition of Film Festival Radio with your host, Janice Malone. Be sure to download this and other episodes at filmfestivalradio.com.